In the name of our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. I'd like to invite any young people to come forward for our sermon today. We have a nice video to show in just a moment, but I wanted to direct your attention to what's on the screen. This is a very, very important feast day in the church. There are seven major feasts in the church, and your parents have the prayer book in front of them. And if they look in the prayer book right now and turn to page 15, you want to sit here? 15 shows all the major feasts in the church. We've got the Easter cycle, we have the Christmas cycle, we have All Saints Day. Now, in the early church, 2,000 years ago, the order of importance of the feasts of the church, does anyone know what the most important feast was? Most important day? It's about our faith, about Jesus coming back. Easter, right. The second most important day was Pentecost, the coming of the Holy Spirit. And today, Epiphany was the third most important day, the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, with all of this stuff with Christmas and all the shopping and all that Christmas music before Halloween and all that kind of stuff, we still have Easter as number one, and then we have Christmas as number two. And then Pentecost is now number three. But in a way, Epiphany is really much more important in a way than Christmas in some cultures and in some time in history. So I want to tell you about this crazy word I'm going to ask Ms. Kleinwächter to get ready and pull up our video in just a moment. So Epiphany means epiphany, phany from the ancient Greek, which means light shining through. Or manifestation, the manifestation of Christ to the world, to the Gentiles, to everyone. That's what this is about. In Christmas, we focus on the humanity of Jesus, the little baby part of Jesus being born in a stable. Epiphany focuses on the divinity of Jesus, on the fact that he's God's son. And so in the church in the West, the focus has been a lot on the incarnation of Christ and the divinity. But in the East, Eastern Orthodox Church, based out of Constantinople, which today we call Istanbul, Turkey, the focus has been more on the epiphany of Christ, the divinity of Christ. And sometimes in that particular church today, they celebrate a lot about the baptism of Jesus or the first miracle that Jesus did, which is in John chapter 2, it's turning water into wine. So I've got a really neat little video here about the wise men.
About the time of Jesus' birth, some wise men from the east arrived in Jerusalem, asking King Herod,
"Where is the newborn king of the Jews? We saw his star as it rose, and we have come to worship him."
King Herod was angered by what he heard. A king other than himself? In his own land? Herod called a meeting of the leading priests and teachers of religious law and asked,
"Where is the Messiah supposed to be born?"
"In Bethlehem, in Judea, for this is what the prophet wrote.
You, Bethlehem, are one of the smallest towns in Judah, but from you will come one who will rule Israel for me. He comes from very old times, from days long ago."
Then King Herod called the wise men back in for a private meeting. He told the wise men,
"Go to Bethlehem and search carefully for the child. And when you find him, come back and tell me so that I can worship him too."
After listening to the king, the wise men left to follow the star. They arrived at the place where Jesus was, and going into the house, they found the promised child and his mother Mary. They gave him offerings of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, and were so overjoyed at the fulfillment of God's promise, they bowed before Jesus and worshiped. That night in a dream, the wise men were warned about returning to King Herod. He was plotting to kill Jesus. When they awoke, they departed and traveled back to their home country a different way. Jesus was born in Bethlehem, in a region where the evil King Herod...
Have you guys heard that story before? Yeah? Yesterday? Okay, I'm going to tell you a little bit more about it. Now, those three kings, which we have here, kind of in this ceramic, kind of breakable, so be careful. You see the three kings? We don't really know if they were kings. They were considered magi or wise men. They could have been, scholars say, priests from the Zoroastrian religion from modern-day Iran, which back in those days was called Persia. And we don't know if there were three of them, or 30 of them, or 300 of them. It does not say. The only thing we know for sure is what it says in the Bible is that they brought three separate gifts: gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And you can see they have some gifts here, right? And on the front of the bulletin, for your parents who have this, you can see this guy here. He's got the gold, and he's giving that to Jesus, and the gold represents royalty and the kingship of Jesus. And then this guy has this thing, you see that smoke? That's incense, that's frankincense. And that comes from the ancient Hebrew, a model of how they would do sacrifices on altars, and then the Christian church took that over. So that's frankincense, very expensive, very, very good for a king. They spent a lot of money on all these gifts. And then lastly, that we have myrrh. And myrrh is an oil which is very, very expensive, and they use that to bury the dead, to prepare, to make sure that the body's not so stinky, and to wrap it up in, you know, a really nice scent. Now, that was a foreshadowing of Jesus' death later, which we celebrate on Good Friday and Easter. So we don't really know if there were kings or wise men or magi. We don't really know a lot about them. They could have been priests. They could have come from Persia, or even some scholars say from China. And there could have been 30, 300, 500, we have no idea. And in the church, I'm going to ask Susan to go back one screen if you can, if you just click the back arrow, right, one more. Yeah, now at the very top of that one, which is a Byzantine mosaic, you can see the names: Balthazar, Melchior, and Gaspar. That is not in the Bible. The church used those names to describe the three kings. Now, does anybody know anyone named Balthazar or Melchior or Gaspar? I saw a movie recently when I was in Florida with my mom about J. Paul Getty that just came out and called All the Money in the World. And his great-grandson is named Balthazar Getty. That's the only Balthazar I know. That's a pretty long name. I don't even know how to spell it. It's B something, blah, 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 right? So Balthazar, Melchior, and Gaspar. Now, we celebrate Epiphany 12 days after Christmas, but then it actually, if they did come from China or even Persia, more than likely it did not take 12 days. It could have taken up to 2 years. And the thing that's really interesting about the scripture we heard, and I'm going to read you one sentence at the very bottom of our gospel that Deacon Aya read. When they saw the stars stop, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, not the stable, the house. So more than likely, Jesus and his mom and dad were in a house in Bethlehem by this time, not the stable. So even though we have these guides that we're going to put here by the stable, they really visited him in the house. And so another thing about the little video clip you saw, Herod said, go to Bethlehem. And Jerusalem, the distance between Jerusalem and Bethlehem was about 5 miles. So it took a full day to get there or so. And then he wanted him to come back and tell him. And then the angel visited. And there's a picture of the angel right there visiting the three kings and warning them. And I'm going to ask Ms. Kleinwechter to go back two screens to this is a Chinese artist named He Chi. And the next screen after that, that follows this one, is also the same artist. One more. Back. The other back. Forward. Next one. Right there. There's the angel visiting the three kings. See? The same artist, He Chi. Now, in the olden days, when you had a appearance of a god, it's a very fancy name called Theophany, which we also see in Greek mythology, which you might study sometime if you haven't already. And that means the appearance of a god to a human. And that's what the Theophany of Jesus is when Jesus, who is God, fully human, fully divine, appeared to the wise, three wise guys, I mean the wise men. He appeared to the wise men, right? And to everyone else. So the other thing I wanted to mention, and this was not in our reading, but it was at Christmas Eve. You remember when it said, the shepherds were keeping watch over their flocks by night. Well, in those days, nobody would have their shepherds out in December, their sheep out in December. It was way too cold. So more than likely, the sheep were out between the months of April to September. And so that also gives us something that is going to maybe shock you, but Jesus really probably was not born on December 25th. That came a couple centuries later. Most scholars say, based upon a lot of the research, that he was probably born sometime between March the 4th and April 17th, more likely in April, because nobody would have their flocks out by night during the month of December. It was way, way too cold. And this is one of the oldest depictions here from the first couple centuries. Like I said, this is a Byzantine mural, a very famous. And when I was doing chapels every day for 3 years for the upper school students, the high school students at Parish Episcopal, I always had art that I would show about various biblical stories. And if you're really interested, you can go to Vanderbilt University Divinity School Library online and find a bunch of art that will help share some depictions of the stories. It's a really, really beautiful collection they have. And I think the next one is going to be coming up. Yeah, so we'll just kind of let it roll from there. Some more depictions there. Anytime you see a halo, that means someone holy. This is a tapestry that was woven of the same scene of the three kings coming to pay homage. This one right here is in the cathedral, Episcopal Cathedral of St. John in Denver, Colorado. So one of the things about the real date of the birth of Jesus, it's interesting because the current Pope, Pope Francis, has said, he's talked with the Patriarch of Constantinople, the head of the Eastern Orthodox Church, and has said, maybe we should have Easter on one set day instead of a roving day, which occurs based upon the lunar cycle between March 25th and April 21st. And they have proposed either the second Sunday in April or the third Sunday in April, so that all Christians around the world can celebrate Easter together, which I think is really unique because that's around probably the time that Jesus was really born. And you see, it's all connected. It's a full cycle. Just like the myrrh is a foreshadowing of Jesus' death, everything is a full cycle when it comes back. So that's all wonderful, and that's a great movie and great slides. So what? So what? Well, my question to you and to your parents and grandparents and friends is, oh, by the way, there's an Epiphany cake. Now, a lot of times you can have the little gifts in there or the king, the little king. It's called Dia de los Reyes, Day of the Kings. Day of the Kings. And for example, in Puerto Rico, did anybody listen to NPR this morning about Puerto Rico and Epiphany? Okay. So this morning they said that in some cultures, especially Latino culture, Epiphany is much more important than Christmas. It's still a major feast, just like Christmas, but that's when the gifts are given. Can you imagine waiting 12 whole days from Christmas to open your gifts? What I like to do during Christmas tide, the time after Christmas, is to open only one gift per day so that I can truly enjoy the full Christmas season. And then the last gift I opened today, well, last night, January 6th, Epiphany. I know, right? So this is what I want you to think about this year. I want you to think about how God in Jesus is going to be Epiphany in your life. Epiphany, to shine in your life, to shine through you to the world. And how, as we begin a new year, always time to do new things, right? To think about what kind of ministries or what kind of things you'd like to do, maybe new activities. Maybe your parents might want to enter a new ministry or be a part of something, help teach Sunday school, teens or kids, or become an usher or sing in the choir. And I know I could never sing in the choir. I don't have the voice for it. But it would be great if we had some great folks to sing in the choir, with a wonderful choir that we already have. Maybe an usher, maybe helping out with coffee hour, all kinds of ways here at our church, in our church community, our church family, of how God can be manifest in different ways, in future ways, in 2018. So I want you to think and pray about that, okay? Is that a deal? Awesome. Now, I want you to help me put the wise guys, I mean the wise men, in... No, one at a time. No, let's share. We don't. All right. So why don't we put them up there next to their camels? And this morning on the radio, they said that because Puerto Rico is so cold, there's even snow there, that they could not even bring out the camels because camels can't handle cold weather. They're a desert type of animal. See? So there they are, kneeling to the King of our hearts, to the King of the world, to Jesus, and giving him gifts. And we say amen to this wonderful day of Epiphany. Amen. Awesome, guys. Thank you so much. No, don't put them behind a camel. We don't want to be behind an animal because sometimes things happen. There we go. Be in the front.